Ladies and fellows, men, welcome back to another episode of the No Script Podcast. Your boy B-Rack here with Dan Dutton. It's good, bro.
What up, big dog? We back.
I know, man. We haven't. This is the first recording since I got here to Virginia, so like 3 weeks, maybe.
Yeah, it's been a little bit. You've already been there for 3 weeks?
Yeah, it's October 1st. October 1st right now. I got here September 10th.
Damn, so that went quick.
Dude, it like flew by. It literally flew by. Freaking insane.
So how was your first 3 weeks there versus your first 3 weeks from North Carolina?
Definitely more chill. Like the company I worked for in North Carolina, they were much bigger and they had like a productivity like line that you had to hit and stuff like that. So like they definitely made it a priority to like try to keep you busy on a regular basis. But since I've been here in Virginia, it's a smaller company, and this is their newest branch here in Virginia. Like they have one in Pennsylvania, Delaware, and Maryland, and this one here in Virginia just started out last November. And there's only a couple people on staff, and apparently because they're so new, like it's hard to get referrals because obviously like when doctors or whoever they're trying to send patients from the hospital, like, oh, we'll get you home health and stuff like that, they're not going to know our names because they, you know, we're not out there enough. And it's weird because there's not even like a marketing like advocate to like go to like the big name hospitals or like the prominent doctors out here to like help get our name out there. So like I'm only seeing one patient myself twice a week. And then every other day, I'm literally just sitting in the office from 9 to 5. So like entertainment wise and staying busy wise, that's like almost non-existent, but you know, it is what it is right now. I'm still getting paid in full.
Yeah. You can pay decent money to be on straight chill mode.
Yeah. Big chill mode. The problem is that they can't hire full-timers because full-time workers basically get paid by the visit. And if they get hired, but they don't have the visits to back it up, full-timers aren't going to be inclined to want to stay. So they basically don't have a choice but to contract out their therapist just to get the company started. And I'm pretty sure these guys are hoping that me and the other PT that's on staff, he's a DPT, will stay once like we get established and like our contracts are up and stuff like that. But I mean, I don't know. I'm not promising nothing. That's kind of up in the air.
What's a DPT?
A doctor of physical therapy.
Oh, okay.
Cause before you could just get your master's. And then, I think within the last like 6-7 years, it's, your doctorate.
Okay.
I always mess up that word, bro. Like, is it doctrine? Doctorate. Is it with an N at the end? Like, I sound so don't put me in a position to like potentially say that word because I don't want to get called out.
You already did.
Pretty sure it's doctorate.
Is it doctorate?
Yeah.
You're probably right.
Without no introduction, our guest for the day.
Go ahead, Dan.
Yo, what up?
Go ahead, Dan. I'm gonna let you go ahead and introduce her.
Does she need one? She came in swinging.
I'm Jessica.
Already.
Nobody wants to say it.
What are your credentials?
I don't know.
My fiance, mom. Luke's baby mama, or Luke's baby. No, Luke's mom.
Wait,
my baby mama, my fiance.
Full-time mother.
Yeah, all
out,
that.
Out there holding it down in Naperville. And when was his birthday? The 21st?
21st, yeah.
Oh, okay. That's nice, man. So this man, he's been around the sun one time already. So
crazy.
What's been, I guess, what's been the hardest part over the course of the year? Is it been, and you can generalize everything, can be between like sleep schedule, balancing work, you know, obviously you guys go to the gym together and finding a daycare is like a staple because your guys' parents are kind of all over the place. So what's it been like?
Yeah, I can take this one first. So I'd say what the hardest thing, it changes based on, like, as he gets older. So obviously in the beginning it was like the sleep, right? Because he was up, you know, every 2 hours or something. But I feel like it didn't take that much time for him to finally, like, it took a while for him to sleep from the, you know, like 6 to 6 or 7 to 7. It took a while for that to happen. But before that, there was a decent stretch where, like, he would only wake up once, maybe wake up at midnight, mm-hmm. and then go to bed till like 6. So, like, the, like, sleep deprived, I never really felt like it was too crazy, because, I mean, I got a lot of time off when he was first born. So, like, I was able to, like, just keep going back to sleep as he went to sleep, like, until I was like, oh, I've got enough sleep, I'm good. So even, like, when he was up every 2 hours or so, I just keep going back to sleep. That's what we would do until we felt like we were good, and then we'd get up for the day. But yeah, that was kind of tough. And then, you know, I remember one of our episodes we talked about him. I was talking about, like, I wanted to work on my patience. So, like, that's mm-hmm. just like a common occurrence, is like still trying to, like, maintain or, like, get better at being patient with him, because he's a baby. He doesn't understand anything. Mm-hmm. He just cries when he's uncomfortable, or whines when he's uncomfortable, cries when he's upset. And it's just pretty much on us to figure out, like, what, you know, what's causing him to whine or cry. And sometimes it seems like everything's fine. You're like, bro, just come on, man, relax, or, like, chill out. And, like, now, you know, he's walking and stuff, and, it, you know, pretty much follow him around, make sure he doesn't smack his head on anything. But since he's gotten more mobile, he hates, like, being put down, like, laying down. So, like, you try to lay him down and change his diaper, like, put some clothes on him. He's like, he wants to kick and scream unless you give him, like, a toy, or, like, distract him a lot real quick, or mm-hmm. catch him in chill mode. But a lot, he's like, he just wants to go and explore and go into everything. So you tell him, hey, get away from there. Can't be in there. You know, you kind of direct him somewhere else. He's going to eventually make his way back to that same spot over and over again. And he wants to see everything, touch everything. You know, he's getting all over the place now. So we actually baby-proofed today, threw up some gates, put in some of those outlet plugs, because now that he's starting to, like, go places he never went before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'd say for me right now, the hardest thing, like you said, like the daycare with the gym. Sometimes, like, yeah, he was sick a couple weeks, so, like, every time, like, we took him, you know, he just wasn't comfortable throughout the day. So when he got there, he would just cry. So, like, there was a mm-hmm. few times where all workouts got cut short because they'd call. So, I mean, that's tough, but it's not every time. There's a lot of times that he goes, and, you know, one time we walked in there and he was running. He was, like, walking around, like, watching these other, like, bigger kids, which was cute to see, because he hasn't really had too many chances to interact with, like, other kids his age or older. So,
yeah, outside of you guys and, like, the grandparents, he's not really interacting with, like you said, any other, not even just kids in general, but just, like, people.
Yeah. And he actually, it was crazy. One of the, like, I forgot what month it was, maybe 9 months. Jessica, you may know, when they told us something about stranger anxiety.
Oh yeah. The anxiety. He's definitely getting that.
Yeah.
With strangers and stuff. He starts crying. He doesn't like them.
So mainly, yeah. Like, you'll notice it more in daycare, I assume.
Yeah. Yeah, like, he'll start crying once we go to hand him off or something, or, like, he'll try to hold on to us mm-hmm. just because he doesn't know who these people are. Oh, especially at his birthday party, he's seen a lot of new faces, and he was not having it that day.
Yeah.
It was just, like, really overwhelming for him, I think.
Yeah. Stranger anxiety. I've never heard of that, dude.
No, me neither. Until that, like, had that appointment, and it was like, the doctor asked, like, is he getting stranger anxiety? And at the time, I was like, no. Like, every time we went anywhere with him, with other people, he never, like, cried around other people. Like, other people could hold him or whatever. He's always been, like, smiley and happy everywhere, like, with everybody. And that's what everybody would say, that, like, would see him. Like, damn, he's so, like, smiley and happy. I never seen a baby that's smiley and happy. And then the doctor asked that, and I was like, no. Like, he pretty much, like, will let anybody hold him, mm-hmm. you know, most of the time, and be cool around everybody. And then it was, like, maybe a week or so after that, we were around some newer people, and I seen, like, newer to him, obviously not to us, but, and I seen him, like, kind of hiding his head, like, you're holding him, he kind of, like, you know, stays closer, and, like, and I was like, damn, I think he's actually starting to get it. And then, sure enough, you know, as we start taking the daycare again, he started crying, or like the birthday party or like my birthday party and people were around. Like there's just times like that where he's like, there's a bunch of people and he's like, yeah, I don't know about this. I don't know these people, too many people. And it was funny. He was like that at his birthday party, like Jessica was saying, like he was like overwhelmed. And then he was like kind of whiny and like, eh, like kind of all day. And then as soon as like almost everybody left and it was just like, you know, like
the regulars.
Yeah, like his regular people he sees every day. Then he was just like wanting to be put down and run around and play and like all happy and stuff. Like he went back to his normal self. I was like, this dude, man, for real?
It's like, doesn't that make you kind of think like how like that impacts like their development later? Like at least as far as social interaction or how you perceive people, like when you get a little bit older, like bro, stranger anxiety, and you get told like that in like 9 months. This is the first time I ever heard of that shit at all.
Yeah, it was new, and I never heard that. And then I started noticing it, and I was like, damn. I was like, yeah, I guess that's what he got.
For real,
you know.
Yeah.
And instead of, I mean, obviously, like you know, it'll go away eventually, you know. But for now, he's like, you're not a regular. He's just kind of like,
And I assume they said that's common, right?
Yeah. It's just that's like one of their like checkup questions. Like every doctor's appointment we've gone to, it's like a certain set of questions, and they're kind of tracking his progression, you know,
milestones and all that stuff.
Yeah. So first started like, is he eating? How many times he used the bathroom a day? You know, stuff like that. Then it was like, is he holding his head up? Is he looking at you when you say his name? Or you know, is he crawling? Like, so like as every time we go back, there's like new updating questions that they ask to like check his progression. So yeah, that was the following one. I said no. I was like, well, you may start to notice it soon.
Dude,
sure enough,
there was a point in time during school like where we had to know like a baby's like milestones and stuff like that, and I'm just like, I don't even know how I retained some of the information, but I sure as hell couldn't tell you any of that stuff right now. Like, but that's crazy though. Like, man, and I don't know when the milestone's supposed to hit, but dude, he's already at the turn. He's gonna be starting talking soon, bro. Like, formulating words. I feel like knocking on the door.
Yeah, it's gonna be nuts.
When did they say potentially was like first word would be spoken?
I mean, I guess he's already said his first word, right?
I guess he says dada.
Oh, okay, all right.
Yeah. So when did you notice him saying that?
It's been a while, maybe like almost a month.
Damn, okay.
So he's been saying it, but it's like, it's not, I don't, like, until I feel like he knows what that means, I feel like he's running around, da-da.
Yeah, I feel like he knows what it means, though, because when I'll say it to him, he'll look at you, or he'll look for you, like, if you're coming back home from somewhere or something like that, I'd be like, oh, dada's here, and then he'll, like, get excited, and he'll, like, know.
So he's got an association with the word, then.
Yeah.
Or like I guess the other day when I was working and you guys were like by the couch and you're like, "Where's Dada? Go get Dada!" And he came running over here to me.
Yes, I always say knows. That. Yeah, and he'll run to you.
Yeah,
so that's really cool, man.
Yeah. So I guess he's already said it. It 100% sounded like he said "mommy" the other day, but he hasn't said it again since.
Yeah.
Usually say "mommy." Like we always try to get him to say "mama." So like, I was like, dude, it sounded pretty clear. And I was like, did you just say, I was like, try to get him to say it again.
Put the damn kid on the spot, bro. You're going to want to say it.
They said between like 1 year and 2 years is like when they start, like communication is the milestones for that. So like they said for that first year, he grew so quick. Like, you know, whatever his birth weight was, I forget. Do you remember, Jessica?
His birth weight was like 6 pounds, like 18 ounces or something like that.
Okay.
And then his current weight was like, when we went, was it like 26 or something like that?
Yeah, something like that.
So like, that's a lot of weight, right? Like his first year, he went from not moving to walking and stuff like that his first year. They said from the year 1 to 2, they don't, you know, they said that he won't grow as exponentially, like physically. Like his body, he won't like keep growing that fast, but his like brain development is a lot. So his like communication skills will start to develop. So It's gonna be crazy. We always talk about like how crazy it's gonna be when he starts talking and like telling us what he wants and stuff like that. It's gonna be nuts.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine like as a parent. Like obviously, I get updates from Demo and Marissa because I think Calvin is only his birthday's in April, so what 4 months older than
Luke? 4 or 5 months.
And then, I think Anthony's oldest is 2. I'm pretty sure. And then Brendan's got the oldest one out of the bunch. I think Kinsley's like 6 or 7 or something. It's just so crazy because I've known all of them like since like they were born, especially like, I got a chance to take care of Kinsley on a couple nights so Brendan and Alexis can like go out or go to the gym and stuff like that. And just to see how they develop now, it's just wild. And like, if you're there enough, and I'm speaking in terms of like just being like the friend, obviously the parents, you guys are there all the time, but Kinsley still views me as like the uncle or whatever. Like, obviously I have no relation, but because I've been around since day one, like, it's just so crazy how if you're there in their early life, how they still associate and view you as such if you're there often. And that's cool. Hopefully I'm there, man. I can, show Luke how to bowl and everything since, teach him a hook shot and whatnot since, it's not really your wheelhouse.
Listen, bro. He starts throwing another hook shot, dude. He's not gonna be tall or the same height as me, so I'm sending that.
Dude, he's just no, bro. He's literally gonna take you to the post, back you down. He's gonna know how to use his body. He might, even if he's not tall enough, bro, he's gonna back you down, and then you're gonna get PTSD from when I was doing it to you, and then you're just gonna freeze, and then you're not gonna be able to jump. He's just gonna boom. Easy.
All right, let's take a second. Let's take a second here. So let me just tell all the listeners here. See, the way Brian likes to tell stories, that he just dominated me in basketball time. We had one outing of basketball where suddenly this dude learned a hook shot, okay? And he's a little taller than me. He has a way longer arm.
I was actually 3 inches shorter than him at the time.
False. And then this dude, all he would do, he was just in the post, and he would just do the little hook shot. So he's taller. His arms are way longer. My vertical is not great by any means. So, of course, I can't reach it. Like, what am I going to do? And that was a one outing event. And he makes it seem like he did it every day. Same thing with 2K. My man beat me once and thinks that, he could, that's the only time he can bring up. The one time he beat me, because he was so happy he won, he pulled out his phone to record it. And that was the first time he ever beat me.
So, here's the thing. Here's the commonality between both those scenarios. It's like, they were so iconic that we remember it. And then one of those events were documented, like all of our other basketball games that we had, whether you won or not, like, bro, there was nothing iconic about it. I can't even remember a game we played.
I remember countless 2-on-2, me and Chandler versus you and Demo. And you guys never, ever, 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 ever.
We're talking about 1v1s, bro.
Never, ever be the same. We weren't even a 1v1 group. We were always in at least 4 to 6 people. We always played 2-on-2, 3-on-3, and 2-on-2, me and Chandler, shout out Chandler, never, ever lost a series against you and Demo. You guys were the quicker, more athletic duo, and we just whooped y'all asses.
Yeah, I'm going to put all that on Demo. I mean, it's his house. I mean, I don't understand. At that point in time, I did have a jumper, and I was actually confident enough to shoot. You're playing at Demo's house most of the time. But, yeah, it was definitely quicker. I had the bounce. I don't know, man. Demo.
His backboard was shattered, so it was like swish or you're missing.
Yeah, it was either swish or you had to hit high corner on either side. But, yeah, I mean, Dan didn't want the 1v1. I mean, he already knew. Like, he lost that one game in front of my house. He took the basketball and chucked it in my garage. I do remember that.
Fucking stupid-ass shot, dude. It's like when you're playing a game against somebody, and like a fighting game, they just tap in the same fucking over and over again. And it's like imagine like what was fucking Street Fighter or something, you just kick them in their leg and they fall down and just
and you get mad at them because you're like, dude,
spamming just the butt, hit the same thing. Like, dude, it's not skillful, okay?
Yeah, I was basically spamming a move. So that's basically what Dan's saying. That's how he viewed me. I was that one kid that was just spamming the broken move that couldn't get beaten, and I thought I was good at the game. Like,
nothing's changed. Now let's do Warzone, dude. You get the meta every time. Again, spam the meta and the broken movements, but it's cool, man. I do the same thing.
Bro, my eyes are literally in the back of my head right now. I was rolling so hard. Done. Speaking of that, Warzone, I'm hoping Jess can get back in the Call of Duty game.
Hey. No, I am. I played the beta and I liked it a lot, so definitely going to be on it.
I wonder how much closer it'll be related to like the final product, because like I was thinking back, like what was we obviously know what Vanguard and Cold War, like what those multiplayers were, but I can't even remember what how the betas played and like how if they were that much closer to the final product. So, but in the end, I won't really care, because when Warzone 2 comes out, that's all I'm playing.
Yeah, I think I'm trying to think back. I don't remember with the Modern Warfare beta. I do remember the Cold War beta, and I feel like it played pretty similar, like multiplayer wise, to like the final product. I mean, I feel like there's a few things they can change, but yeah, Jessica, she'll run. She'll be all right. She could be a fourth.
Yeah, I'm gonna be the fourth.
Yeah, we still got to get real DC back in, because DC he's been on Red Dead and just not.
I don't know. He seems real sussy now, from what I'm hearing and from things that I'm being told. It's just, he seems real sussy.
I don't know, man. Hey, as long as he's happy doing whatever he's doing, he knows when he has to crawl back to the Call of Duty community, he knows he's going to be there. He'll be begging for forgiveness. And I'm going to be like, no, you had your chance.
So getting back to like the main topic today's episode, right? The Luke 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
I remember like we did our first one talking about him and stuff. And it didn't seem like that long ago, but that was me giving the beginning, you know, and like what it was like for me. So, me and Jessica were just talking, you know, I feel like we talk about it at least like, you know, once a month, if not more than that, about like the day that she gave birth, like how crazy it was.
Yeah, then, I think Dan's giving me his point of view. So, Jess, well, walk us through when you had to be driven to the hospital.
Driving there was fine. After that was probably the worst day of my life. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Driving there was fine. I was excited. I was ready for it to be over. And then, I mean,
how long were you like? So, the process. Do you like get? Do you get induced, and then like that's like the labor time? Like,
yeah.
Like, okay.
Yeah. So I got induced, and then as soon as they give you that medication or whatever to start you. As soon as they hooked me up on that, I started feeling contractions right away.
Goodness.
Yeah, and then they would just progressively get bigger and bigger throughout the day.
So what did it feel like? Like, give can you compare it to something?
I feel like nothing that we could understand.
Honestly, I don't know what it feels like. There's like a big rock in your stomach, and mm-hmm. it's like tightened, like I don't know how, it's like a hard ass rock in your stomach, and it's just like getting tightened and grinding, and I don't know how to explain it. That's probably not anything what it's like, but
what, like how long, because I don't remember, like the day is kind of a blur, but from when you were induced to like when it was like, all right, he's here.
I think it was like it was less than 12 hours.
Yeah,
because I got there on 8, and he was born at like 7 something. Yeah.
So like the whole time it wasn't like crazy. So there was like, you know, when the beginning contractions were happening, there was like this monitor and I could watch, and it's like as she contracted, there was like a spike and then it'd go down. And then it'd be like a decent amount of time, and then a spike, a decent amount of time. And then she was like chilling for a while, and like, you know, it wasn't too bad. But then I just remember out of like, it felt like out of nowhere when like he was, it must have been like Luke was like, all right, man, let's go. because it was like, I know where, I was like, yeah, it wasn't that bad, wasn't that bad. And then I like left the room for a little bit, came back, and then all of a sudden she was just like, you know, fucking spike, spike, spike. Sometimes like it would be a contraction, right? The peak, and then it come down. There was like one time where she like contracted, the peak went up and it didn't come down. It stayed up there for a minute, and I'm like holding her hand and she's squeezing my hand. I'm just like, and then it comes down and I'm like trying to like tell her like to breathe and like saying mm-hmm. good things. And then at one point they brought like this way, like, she, as soon, I said this today, okay, and I'll say it again for the people on air. As soon as she's in the presence of her sister, she giggles. She just starts to giggle. When they're two are together, they think they're like the funniest duo. They laugh at everything, funny. Each other. Like, as soon as she's in front of her sister, she'll start to giggle. So they were like, they brought her sister and like, hey, you know, like, make her laugh, calm her down. And her sister came in, like, just trying to talk to her. Jessica gave her zero reaction.
At that time, I didn't recognize, like, anybody in the room. Like, I didn't know who was there. I didn't know what the hell was going on. I was just focusing on the contractions and trying to breathe. Damn. So, I mean, like, Kanye West could have been in the room and I wouldn't have given a shit.
So the person that would more than likely make you laugh the most, yeah, just like, it was not working at all. No. That's crazy.
No.
It was nothing. And she was like, the crowd. Just kind of like back then. I'm like chuckling to myself. I'm like, oh. It's tough. But yeah, that was funny. And then it got, see, dude, I swear we talked about it today too, or, you know, and near his birthday. It was like, one of the nurses was like, okay, it should be like, you know, they checked her out. I was like, okay, he's getting close, maybe like 15 more minutes. And then I heard Jessica, like, her, you know, contractions were getting worse, and like her, you know, saying her squeezing my hand was getting a little harder. And I was like, it seemed like things were progressing faster than they expected. So, like, you know, I seen her, the look on her face. She can't speak to be like, something's going on. Like, so I was like, you know, the nurse in the room, I was like, hey, can you check her back? She's like, it's only been like 5 minutes. Like, can you like please check her back? Like, I was like, something's going on. And she gets there, she's like, oh, hold on, don't push. Like, he was, then all of a sudden he was like right there, ready to come out. And then the fucking doctor came in, and I swear my man was air, like in the air. He just, he was ready, he was out. And the doctor caught him. It was crazy.
That's, I can't, like, when I envision, like, the delivery, I envision the doc there, like, you know, close to the site, and just, like, slowly, like, not pulling it out, but, like, guiding it out, right? But the way you describe it, it's like, this motherfucker was shot out of a cannon or something, like.
Dude, he did it on his own, dude. He's been independent from the jump. He got himself out of there. He's not a cuddly baby. He learned to crawl. He crawled for like a week and was like, this is boring. Started walking. Like, I've been around like other kids. I feel like they crawl for a while. And then you kind of like try to like give them those like toys to push to learn to walk. This dude didn't even care. Like, he just stood up on his own and just kept doing it and falling every 4 steps all day, just falling, falling, falling. Like, dude, if you just crawled to the toy you want to get, you'd get there a lot faster. But he didn't want to do that. He's just independent. He was crazy. He just got him. He just keep forcing the walk until he got better at it. So he's been independent from the beginning. He said, I don't need no doctor delivering me. I'm out. I'm doing this myself.
He literally came out swinging. Crazy. So, like, just when he finally came out, like, I guess at the worst point where, like, it was the absolute, like, highest amount of pressure, like, I guess most painful, if you want to call it most painful, like, what did it feel like after he was out? Like, was it like just instantaneous like relief?
Yeah, it was instant relief. I honestly for a few seconds forgot about everything that just happened. And I forgot that I just had a baby. I forgot. Like, it was just instant relief, instant, like, just the flood of like emotions, like, oh fuck, I made it through. And then after I kind of like it clicked and I was like, oh shit, where is he?
My gosh, was he crying out the gate, like, when he came out?
No, he barely cried. And then, like, you know, they clamped the cord. I was able to cut it. They, like, you know,
what was that?
That was kind of nuts to cut the cord. I was
Are you shaking?
Yeah, I was shaking. It was crazy. But yeah, so like I was able to do that. That was nuts. Like I reckon anybody that has a baby, I recommend. Even the dudes that are like, you know, a little squeamish about the stuff, like you gotta be there. Like it was, I wasn't the one doing anything but standing there with a numb hand, and it was the craziest day of my life. And yeah, just seeing like her face, I guess, like, you know, when she felt that relief, and then seeing like her, like that click and like look around for him and then get him, and just like how she was holding him, I was like, I started crying. I was like, oh my God. It was crazy. Yeah,
it's super emotional, man. You brought a life into the world. I can only imagine like what that feeling is like when emotions are just like up and down. Who else was in the delivery room?
So it was just Dan and my mom.
Yeah, it was still COVID season.
Oh yeah, that's right.
So we had this big ass fucking studio apartment sized delivery room.
Yeah, it was a nice little room.
Oh, it was big as shit. Yeah. Damn.
It was big. I mean, you've seen our living room, dude. It was like half the size of our living room, maybe.
Okay, damn, that's a pretty good amount of space.
Yeah,
it was big, dude. And we could just only two people because of still COVID rules.
When were you guys able to go home?
We got two nights there, right?
Yeah, it was two nights there.
Yeah, see, and I it blew my mind, right? So she has this crazy, like, experience giving birth. And then, like, we go home. But that first night, right, we leave the delivery room and go to the room that we're going to stay at for the 2 days. And a nurse comes in, changes them, and then, like, she's walking us through everything. Like, all right, this is what you got to do when you change them. You know, this is, you know, his next couple of days here. These are all the checks he's going to get done and make sure everything's, like, good before we leave. Here's his bottle. Dude, it's so overwhelming. Here's his bottle. Here's the rest of his diapers. This is how you swaddle. This is how you burp. And I'm sitting, like, Jessica is just calm. Like, she's just like, yeah, okay. And I'm sitting there, like, the whole time, like, as the dude in the room, you have to be, like, especially when she's giving birth, I can't be freaking out this whole time. Internally, I'm freaking out. Like, it's crazy. Outside, you know, I'm like, you know, you're doing good. It's a good job. So I'm sitting there, I'm like, yeah, okay. Yeah, we'll be good. Like, yeah, thanks for coming. All right, see you. Bye. And on the inside, I'm like, fuck, she's leaving us?
Oh, wait, I need you.
What? And then Jessica's like, no, it's okay. And like she's sitting there just like, you know, like patting his little belly, and like she's on like the, you know, the hospital type bed, and they got the little, like, they don't, like in the movies, you know, they have that like big room full of like the little bassinets and all the babies, and the parents are like standing at the window staring at their baby. Like, they don't do that anymore. Like, your baby stays in the room with you.
Really? Is that just since COVID, or is that just the norm now?
I think that's just the norm now. I'm assuming that they want people, but I don't really know.
The nurse asked if we wanted to keep him or if we wanted him to go to the nursery.
And like I said, the first night?
No, for the nights that we were there.
Oh, okay.
And I said that I wanted to keep him.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I always thought that was just like, I don't know, like things you saw in movies. Because even when I was in the hospital, I never got a chance to see like any of like the labor and delivery units or anything like that. But I couldn't, like, I think this is just biology, dude. Like, Jess, women are just natural, you know, like life givers, nurturers and stuff like that. So like after all the chaos calmed down, like those motherly instincts, like intuitively, like as a female, probably just kicked in to where like maybe she already knew, you know. I don't know if that's what it felt like for you at the time because you were so calm, but that's my assumption.
I mean, I never felt nervous or anxious or anything like that. And, you know, when I had him, it was just all off instinct. Like, it just kicked in, and it didn't feel like anything new. I mean, obviously, it was a baby, but
yeah,
it didn't feel like out of the norm or anything like that.
I think mentally you kind of already knew like what to expect, like, okay, like, and you weren't so overwhelmed in the moment with it. Like, I think I can probably agree with Dan, like, as a man, you're trying to remain calm in a situation because that's the not the image you're supposed to portray, but I mean, as a woman, you want your man to be like confident in control and whatever in certain situations. I imagine the inside, Dan, like, you have you seen that meme with SpongeBob where he's there's like 50 of them running around in his brain, yeah, and it's like on fire? Like, that's probably, yeah, what the inside of you was like.
Yeah, and it's like, it can't be about, like, I can't, like, freak out, okay, because everything's on her. Like, it's her day. She's doing something amazing. Like, it's crazy. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't be the one sitting, like, trying to breathe to calm myself down. Like, it didn't get that bad where I was, like, I needed to, like, breathe to calm down. It's just nerves. I mean, I assume every dude's getting nerves. Like, nobody can just be, like, stone cold calm the whole time. Mm-hmm. But that moment when the nurse, okay, cool, hand to us and left. I had, while she was talking, it was almost like I was here what she was saying, absorbing what she was saying, but, like, it was, like, one of those weird things where it felt like all I could hear was, like, a buzzing. I was like, fuck, she's about to leave. It's just gonna be, like, it's on us now. And then I don't think I ever looked at Jessica the whole time. I was, like, staring at this nurse, like, I need to absorb everything she's saying so I know what I'm supposed to do. And I'm just staring. She leaves. I'm like, okay. And I look over at her. I look at over at Jessica, and she's has like the calmest look. Like, she's like, it calmed me down. I was like, oh, she got this. She got this. If she got this, then we're good. I was like, I'll learn. So, like, you know, after that, like, I had my few minutes of freaking out the first night, and then just looking at her, and she was so calm and, like, confident. Everything. I was like, okay, cool, we're good. And then everything was just came off after, like, repetitions, like, all right, okay, cool. Like, I know what to do. I learned how to change a diaper. Do it over and over again. Now it's easy. And then it's okay. Burp them. You know, so everything, just the first couple times of doing it, you're just a little nervous. You're trying to make sure you're doing everything right. But literally when you're taking care of him all day, like, it doesn't take long at all for it to be, you know, like, secondhand, like, super easy.
Yeah, imagine the mindset just shifts so drastically, like, you know, when you bring the baby into the world, it's like, okay, like, I'm already mentally, I'm prepared for these things that I got to address and take care of. And it's like, when it comes up, because you want to be so perfect in what you do, because, you know, this baby is reliant on you for the better part of 18 years. It's like, this is just how I got to do this. Now you're just wired differently now.
Yeah. And I'd say another thing that I've changed even more recently too, you know, that, like, you hear all the things, like, how to, like, get your baby to sleep through the night, or how do you get your baby to do this, how do you get your baby to do that, and a lot of things you were like, okay, well, if these people are saying it should be correct,
right?
And then Jessica, like, I don't know, it was like a week or so ago, gave was like, oh, I heard this is a pretty good podcast on Joe Rogan, it was his doctor. Okay, and I'm like, yeah, put it on. And it was like, I don't know, like, 3 hours long. We listened to it through, like, a few days of driving around. And this doctor, like, kind of blew us away with, like, the stuff he was talking about. Like, he was saying, like, everybody in the world that has some type of mental illness, it's based in trauma. No matter what you think, it's not hereditary. He was saying some things, like, you're more inclined, like, alcoholism is not hereditary. He's saying you have certain genes that's more inclined for you to be an addict.
Right.
But your trauma and, like, how you were raised is what leads you down that path, or what makes you an anxious person or a depressed person, like, all this crazy stuff. So, like, we were hearing, like, yeah, your baby's asleep through the night, or, like, when your baby's crying, like, don't pick them up all the time. Like, let them cry and soothe themselves. And that's, like, what I thought. And, like, did we really do that? No, because we want to sleep ourselves. When he cried, we pick him up, get him to stop crying, like, lay him back down. But there was always that time, like, you know, I just let him cry for a minute. Like, do I or do I not? And the doctor was saying that there's, like, studies showing that all the trauma it leads to that. So, like, you have your baby. So if you just sit there and just let it cry and cry and cry and cry, like, eventually, like, let him self-soothe. That doesn't teach him to self-soothe. It teaches him that, like, nobody's there for him. Like, in the world, he's alone. The world's a bad place. Stuff like that. And I was like, and they were saying, like, in, like, what hit Jessica pretty hard, and she was like, oh my god, it, like, clicked for her. And he was saying that, like, when you think about every single animal in the world, they don't let their babies cry. If their baby cries, they run straight to it, right? And you think of, like, smaller type animals, the baby cries, a predator hears it. So, like, and then, you know, even the predators, even, like, the lions, their babies cry, they tend to it right away. And he was saying there was a correlation of mental illnesses going up versus when these doctors started, like these baby doctors that are like, you know, specialists are started saying, let your baby cry, it's fine. Like, to make it easier on the modern world. Like, I gotta get stuff done. The baby's crying. Ah, he'll self-soothe. He'll learn to be self-sufficient. He'll take care of himself. And he was saying that there was a study they followed a bunch of parents. Half of them had that type of philosophy. The other half tend to their kids as much as possible. And the kids that were more successful were the kids that were like tended to right away.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as soon as they cried. And they were saying there's no such thing as giving your baby too much love. Cries, pick them up. That's not going to teach them to be a crybaby.
Or like reliance, like, oh, like if I cry, someone's always going to come to my aid. Like,
yeah. It just teaches them, it just builds trust in the world. And he said those were the people that were the most successful 20, 30 years down the line. Like, it was like a 30-year study where they just kept checking in with these families. And I was like, what? That was crazy. They like, they had this other like tribe or I don't know, like community or civilization, whatever you want to call it. I forgot what he said. Where it was like a community type place, like the community would help raise the kids. But it was like a thing that was like their babies don't even touch the ground for 2 years. Like, they pretty much just carry their babies for 2 years. That's like they're always being held, and they don't have like much cases of like mental illness. Like, they have a strong bond with their community and their family. So it's like with him now, you know, we never let him sit there and cry, but now I don't even think about it. If he's crying, like, one of us is going to grab him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the community thing, that's like he's with, you know, her mom, with my mom. Like, he's being raised by like multiple houses. So it's like he's here most of the time, but he gets to see other houses, and, you know, and he's loved by so many people that, you know, that's how I want to keep it. Because I feel like that is like the best. And now after hearing this doctor talk about it, we were both like, oh shoot, like, we're doing a good job. Like, this is, we just got to keep doing what we're doing.
Yeah, you know what's crazy is, like, there's probably old heads that would probably listen to this and, like, roll their eyes heavy and be like, that's crazy. Like, you know, it's probably just a millennial type thing or whatever, like a new gen, whatever. And it's like, okay, like, why can't you lay the groundwork now? Like, if I want to pick up my child to console them, and if what the doctor says is true, like the guy you were listening to, like, it builds some type of trust that later impacts how they develop later on. Like, that one moment can help lay the groundwork. And if you are getting it twisted, like, if some people get it twisted, like, oh, like, well, what if I'm just teaching him, like, that he's always going to be consoled or things are always going to be okay if he gets held. Okay, is that not something that you can't teach them as they get older and start to comprehend concepts up until they're 18? Like, hey, listen, like, this is what I used to do for you as a kid. Or when you see them going through certain life events, but hey, like, listen, things aren't always going to go your way and things aren't going to be fair, but, you know, this is just how life is going to work sometimes. Like, so I would err more on the side of like what you guys were doing. Like, you know, it is crazy because it's instinctual that animals, whenever their baby cries, they are flying towards me, because to them it's like, I want to console them, and they probably sense danger.
Yeah. And whoever would say that, oh, it's just a millennial like BS. Like, the doctor was, what is he, like 80 years old? Like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's like this old doctor. It's not like some young guy that's like, oh, I got a new idea, let's do it this way.
Right.
He's talking about studies that took place over 30 years, not just some idea. These are like he's talking about studies, and he's a doctor, and he lived it.
Talking about his own personal experience and how he lived for 50 years a certain way and then realized that there was a better way.
Right.
Yeah. So like his like life story was, he was a baby during like Nazi Germany times, and he's Jewish, and he was like, babies absorb the stress and the trauma from their moms or their dads, like their parents. So it's like, he said at some point his mom gave him away so he could, that person was taking him out of the country to flee so he could be okay. And so he, you know, she was worried for their safety, so she had to do a hard thing and get rid of, you know, him for a while, and then eventually like they reconnected. But you know, like that type of stuff he was saying, like that's where his trauma started was. And then as a kid growing up there, like, okay, yeah, okay, cool, like the war is over, but there's still a lot of that like tension and stuff, right? So
sure.
He was saying like his a lot of his trauma was like, I mean, he was Jewish, like he wasn't wanted because of his race, right? So like he used to like grew up feeling like not wanted.
And his
So like he
mom had to
said,
like give him away basically to save his
yeah.
life.
Yeah, so he felt not wanted. So like he grew up to be a workaholic. He became a doctor, a surgeon. He's like, I want to feel wanted. Like subconsciously, he didn't know it until like he started digging into his own traumas. But that's where it came to. It was like, I'm gonna be a surgeon, be a medical doctor. People are gonna need me. I'm gonna be wanted. And then he just became a workaholic because that's how he, you know, like made himself feel better in the world. Was he needed to be wanted? So he just workaholic, always worked. And then he realized that he something wasn't right. And then he started changing the way he was doing things and started really like looking into, you know, being 50 something years old and finally looking into himself and looking into his trauma. And it's kind of like his story is crazy. Like he's talking about like how much happier he is in life now. Like he's like 80 something. So he's had 30 years of like looking in. He's still like working on himself, but it kind of goes to show that like even these adults, these older people, like it's never, you know, never too late to like change it up and be like, all right, I've been living this way for so long. Maybe it's not right. I could be happier. How do I do that? Type of thing. And that's what he did. And it's, he kind of changed the way I was thinking of things.
Yeah. He cared enough to, you know, dabble into the why and the how, when I think a majority of people would just say, well, they would accept it for what it is, but well, I can't change it. I've been this way my whole life. It is what it is. And they don't care to get to the root of the problem because maybe they're complacent or life is just good enough for them and they don't care to, you know, find out. But I mean, I do like that approach. And like you said, he's happier now.
Yeah. So I think, you know, listen to stuff like that about, you know, positive ways to help raise the kid to make them, you know, better. All like when you have a kid, you know, like before you have the kid, you think like, oh, it'd be cool if he's, you know, like super successful or a professional athlete. That'd be crazy. But then like when it comes down to like realistically, like when we talk about it, we're just like, I just want him to be happy. Like whatever, like obviously it'll be easier, you know, on his life if he does something that makes him, you know, successful money wise and stuff like that. I was like, but realistically, we talk about it, as long as he's happy, we don't really care. Like you want your kid to have some similar interests. So yeah, I would love him to be into basketball or into some type of sport where we could teach him, coach him, like watch him play, you know, stuff like that. So there's, I mean, obviously there's going to be some things like, you know, school's not going to make you happy, man, but you're going to have to get good grades, you know, like that's going to be like, you know, things you can't get around, but.
Yeah, and that's obviously, you guys are smart enough. There'll be stuff that you'll tell them, like, hey, listen, like, this is just what you had to do. You had to go to school. You're doing what I say until you're 18. And like you said, the interest, the stuff that he gets into, I mean, he'll develop a good amount of happiness from that. And then, hey, if he becomes successful, whether that be through higher education or, you know, he's a baller of some sort, like, then great. But, I mean, I agree, like, the base should be, I don't care what you're doing. As long as you're happy and you're able to live within your means or beyond. So no, that's good.
Yeah. Jessica, how did you find that? I don't even know how you found that podcast. But
I seen it. Joe Rogan had posted it on his story or reposted somebody's story talking about it, that it was like a really good, like, mental health podcast or something, and I was like, oh, we'll listen to that when we're driving or something.
Yeah, that was a good one. I sent it to, I don't know if my brother had a chance, but I sent it to him and his wife.
And yeah, like, you know, told me about that too, I think a couple days ago. About that, I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah, so I should have sent to everybody, but everybody listen to this. Get it together. Just met Aja.
No one in our group wants to respond to our basic text messages, so
seriously.
That's cool, man. Yeah. Well, dude, one year down, hell of a lot more to go, man. I can't wait to see the character development. It's gonna be crazy.
Oh, dude, it's gonna be crazy. We talked like how he is right now, independent. He's not like you know, we want him to be like a little cuddlier. Like we want to like, you know, like grab him or him to like want to hold on to us. But he, all he wants to do is go down and he wants to run around. Mm-hmm. And like, even when he's ready, like to go to sleep, sometimes you try to like cuddle him and he like rolls off you to like be in his own space. And I'm just like, it's like Bargain, like, dude, Chris, we're here, man. Like, give me a hug. Like, so it's gonna be cool when he's a little older and I go, hey, give me a hug. And he's gonna have to listen because I'm the man of the house.
You're gonna force him to give you a hug? Wow, dude.
Dude, petty. No, that's creepy, dude. Don't make it sound like that. Dude.
It's weird, bro. Dude, he just wants to just be let down, let him explore, dude. Like Nelly Furtado, man. I'm like a bird, I wanna fly away. Like you know what you said. Yeah. That's cool, man.
Yeah, I mean, he gets his laps around the house pretty often all day. He messes with the dogs. It's funny. Like, he'll go to the – like, we have the dogs in the kitchen with the fence so he can't go into the kitchen, a little gate, and then a gate on the stairs so he can't go upstairs. Because that's all he – for a while, all he wanted to do, crawl up the stairs, come back down, crawl up like 10, 15, 20 times a day. All he wanted to crawl – the stairs are, like, the best place in the world.
Yeah, so and how does, like, he interact with those dogs? Or, like, how do they do with him?
So with the, he'll go to like, when we have them out, like in the same room together, like they're all a little different. Like Rusty, our big one, that's like his homie. Like anytime Luke goes to the gate, you know, Rusty runs up, like licks his hands or
nice,
you know, tries to get him to pet him. And Luke now he's starting to like reach through and like, you know, like pet him a little bit, but mm-hmm. if we have them all in the same room, same thing, like Rusty will go up to him. He gets a little excited. Like some of the other dogs don't really care, but sometimes he just yells at him. He just sits there. He just like makes a loud ass yell towards the dogs. It's hilarious.
You got to get a video, dude. I want to see that.
Yeah. Dude, the funniest one, Jessica, remember when he flexed on Chewy for no reason?
Yeah.
What's he doing, bro?
I don't know. He was mad at him.
It was hilarious.
Walked up like to him, and no, he just walked up to him. He was, I think he was like drinking water. Chewy was like drinking water or something, and Luke walked up to him, and he like legit flexed on him. He like went right on at him for no reason, and then just turned around and walked away.
Like animals in the wild at the watering hole, dude.
Yeah.
Oh, it was so funny because his like arms got stiff when he did it.
Yeah.
He's like,
that's funny as hell, dude. That's so awesome.
Shot him and then went like laid down and he just walked away. I was like, why the heck did he do that? It was so funny.
He's
though.
Got beef, dude. I don't know. Chewie must have did something like earlier. And you didn't catch it, man. Luke remembered though. He kept mental notes.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. Now it's like, we're seeing him like outgrow some of his toys, or like the toys he has, like some of them he'll like he loses interest quick. So it's like we're like always updating his toys. Like, he doesn't play with this. Let's get something new in here. It seems like he wants to. It always, I don't know, like everybody feels like that about their kid, but I always felt like he was a little smarter than his age group. Like even when he was younger, I felt like he wanted like the next step of something.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like everything that's like, you know, for his age group, it felt like he lost interest pretty quick. And you know, it's, I don't know. We're trying to keep up with them.
I don't know if you've already told this in a previous podcast, but tell the basketball or potential basketball story with him again.
Oh, yeah, dude. So we got this like big playpen where we keep all his toys and like play with them in there. But it came with a little like attachment you can put on the corner. That's like mm-hmm. a basketball hoop. The other thing that's like a basketball, it's just like a little net. And there's a bunch of like, Jessica bought a ball pit. It came with a bunch of balls. So I'm like sitting there. I'm like, you know, this is before he'll only play in there for a little bit and he wants to be out and run around. But that was when he was still crawling, barely could walk. And I think he was mostly crawling still. And we put him in there to play. And he had all these balls. So he's sitting there watching me, and I'm just talking to him. And I would grab, like, five little ball pit balls, and I'm standing there outside, like, shooting at the basket while I'm talking to him. I'm like, look at this, man. I was like, you see this hand-eye coordination you just got gifted by being my son? Dude, look at this. And I'm like, that's 8 in a row. That's 9 in a row. That's 10. I'm 100% from here. I'm like, look at this hand-eye coordination you get. You just get genetically passed down to you. And I'm just, like, talking shit, like, messing around. And then he had a ball, and he picked it up, and then – I was mm-hmm. like, yeah, just shoot it in there. And he was like, he and I was like, you know, just doing the little wrist action, and he was holding the ball like in his hand, and he like his wrist went like that, like up and down like, real quick, and I was like, shoot it, dude, just let it go, and then he like started biting it. I was like,
oh, man. You thought you had a genius in that
moment. Yeah. I was like, this guy, I thought he was a kid genius for a second. I thought he was about to let it fly. I was like, this is crazy. And even now, though, like, he kind of plays catch. Like, we'll throw something to him, and he picks it up, and he, like, throws it. And, like, sometimes it goes the direction he wants. Sometimes it's, like, straight to the ground. Sometimes it goes behind him. But it's, like, almost like he gets the concept of what we're trying to do. Like, I'll pick the ball, throw it to him. He picks it with and, like, launches it in a direction. And I'm like, oh, shit, he's playing catch.
There was another story I think you told me. Like, did you lay out multiple balls of like a baseball, soccer, whatever?
Yeah. We got like one of the gifts he got. It was like a baby shower gift or something, but it had like all the sports, like little like plush balls of like each sport. So there was like
you told me this
a
one.
Baseball, a basketball, a football, soccer ball. So I laid all four of them out there. And to see which one he would get.
Which one did he end up getting?
He grabbed the soccer one. Well, first he grabbed the football one. I was like, oh, all right. And then he just put it back down. And then he started playing with the soccer one. And then I was like, all right, that's cool, man. I was like, you sure you don't want this basketball one? And then I took the soccer one away, and I was kind of like kicking the basketball one over to see if he'd grab that one. And then he just kept looking at the soccer one. I was like, no, the one like this. Grab this one. Grab that one.
Wow, you keep telling him, no, dude. What did the doctor just say? What did Joe Rogan's doctor just say, bro? My goodness. So he wants to be the next Messi and Ronaldo. Do you know how much money those guys make? And you're telling him, no. Unbelievable.
They make a stupid amount of money. So much that I thought I heard at some point that Ronaldo bought his
agent. He bought an island. He bought an island during COVID, bro. Like, come on. That's ridiculous.
Cool.
I think I remember you telling me like that story with the plush balls. I think you sent it to us in a Snapchat, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I did.
God, that was so funny, dude. So funny.
I don't know much about that sport. Grab this one.
Is there anything that you would not let him play?
Jessica?
Football.
I figured that's where
I know you didn't
going.
Want to say it.
Why
it's
would
hard
you
to say you don't want him to play football when his uncle coaches college football?
Yeah,
but you could. Like I can understand. You know, there's. I mean, shoot, you saw what we saw with Kyler Murray the other day. I mean, there's always that fear and that danger. So
what happened to Kyler Murray?
Dude, we were talking about it the other day, the one with the concussion.
I thought that was Tua.
Oh my bad. Yeah, Tua. Sorry. Jeez, yeah. Man, that's crazy.
Yeah. So. Yeah, so that's what we talked about. I remember talking to my brother, like, yeah, dude, I don't know if I'd let him play football. Man, don't let the media scare you, dude. Like, it's not going to be – it's getting better. Like, they're doing better helmets. Like, we're supposed to teach, like, tackling. Like, you know, we're trying to teach the kids to not, you know, go head-to-head. But then I was like, okay, and I literally just watched on TikTok that some dude, like, it was a college game, I assume, today, and his receiver was doing, like a slant or something across the middle of the field. And as he was catching the ball, the dude came from the other side.
Blasting
him so hard, they both like were just laying there, like unconscious.
Yeah, was it the LSU game? Because an LSU cornerback actually got taken off on a stretcher today.
No, it wasn't that one. So they boom, there you go again. So that's like, you know, that's one. Where I was like, I don't know.
None of these examples are helping back that he should play football.
Yeah, and what's gonna be is gonna be the sport you tell him not to. He's gonna want to.
He's gonna want
to
do it.
So it's like we're not. I'm not gonna be like, hey, you know, you can't play, but like.
Right.
Hopefully, didn't show interest. But then, like, I was like, telling Justin, like, what if, like, by high school he's like 6'2", so he's not like, you know, he's a good height for football, but not a great height for basketball. But he's super athletic, and the football coach is like, this kid has tremendous raw talent. He could probably go D1 with only a couple years of training. I was like, how do we say no to that?
It's just gonna be one of those things where you cross that bridge when you come to it. I mean,
yeah. I mean, that's just a wild example, but
I mean, you never ruled out.
Yeah, right, exactly. I mean, we'll see what happens, what he's interested in. I mean, it's going to be hard to tell. I don't know, completely know if he's, like, super, super passionate and into something. But what I do want to do that I'm feeling like, you know, is not combat related, kind of a little bit, is I want to get him into, like, jiu-jitsu when he's young. Like, as young as you can get a kid into jiu-jitsu, like, not for him to be some crazy badass and, like, go fucking, you know, triangle choke kids at school, but – I think like one of the biggest things that like when I look back, like I was pretty chill in high school. You know, externally, like nothing really bothered me, but like I felt like I was even anxious back then, and I think a lot of like saving that would be like the more confidence you have as a kid, I feel like, you know, you'd be happier, less anxious about stuff. So I want to like instill some type of like confidence, but then like you have like those, you know, I don't feel like the stereotypical high school, like in TV shows where like the jocks are like assholes to everybody. I don't feel like our school was like that. I feel like the good athletes at our school were still like pretty good people. You know, right. Pretty nice. There wasn't
if you didn't fall into that group, then you were usually at like we knew the popular kids and we were cool with them, but we weren't part of that circle. So we always tended to stay out of harm's way.
Yeah. So like, I never noticed like, you know, like, well, I mean, who was the best athletes in our grade? Like Dixon, Checky, like, no, they weren't mm-hmm. like bullies, like going to school, like people, like they were nice dudes. Right. No. So it's like, I don't know. I'm sure some high schools are like that, but I always like what I hear and what I feel and how I think is that kids that act like that, they're just athletes, but they're still like, insecure about things, or their head is too big because they're really good at a sport and nobody tells them no, they haven't been humbled yet. So like my plan, what I think would be super helpful and like healthy, is you put a kid in like jiu-jitsu. Okay, he's not punching, there's nothing like crazy combat related, like he's not fighting, you don't have to worry about anything like damage wise, like brain damage, like if he was like boxing or something. But he learns one, how to be competitive, how to have discipline, but he also, there's always somebody better than you in that gym. So you're always going to get choked out. Mm-hmm. So like, you're going to be humble, but you're also going to be confident in yourself.
Self-control. I mean, it's like any other sport. You're always going to like, there's going to be some life takeaway than just like what the sport is doing, like, you know, particularly on its own. So that'd be cool.
Yeah. So that's what I want to try to do. See, you know, throw him in there for a little bit, see how he likes it. Hopefully he's not like me. I mean, basketball was my favorite sport, but when my parents put me in there, I cried for the first, you know, few practices because I didn't want to go in because I was scared. Mm-hmm. Same with baseball. I mean, T-ball, I was terrified to play. And they just kind of, yeah, you're fine. Go play. And then eventually, and I played them, you know, my whole life growing up. So hopefully I don't have to deal with that because I don't know if I had the heart to be like, get out of the car, get in the gym. And he's over there crying.
Are you going to have him work out with you?
Yeah, but I don't, again, that's going to be something I have to think about because I know they shouldn't work out to a certain point, like in their development, like as they're growing, right? Like,
yeah, and
you can't just
like
have a 12 year old weight training.
That's yeah. like they hit their first puberty.
Yeah, I would wait until at least they're like a preteen. I tend to lean on the lifting stunts a child's growth is more of a myth than it is fact, but I would probably wait until they're at least in middle school. Well, plus like when we were in middle school at Fagley, like they introduced weightlifting to us, like we're in like 7th, 8th grade, but I didn't take weight serious until I was like a sophomore.
Yeah, I probably wait more until like, if he shows interest, like I want to come work out, like okay, cool, like you can come hang out at the gym and like do some small stuff to like feel like engaged, but I wouldn't try to put him through any type of weight training. Like,
bro, why not? You could be like that Instagram dad. Like, the one that, like, benched, like, 585 pounds.
Yeah, and him and his son are yoked. Yeah, but, you know what I'm saying? We'll see. That's a lot. I'll wait until he's at least in high school, I think, before I'm like, all right, come on. It's time to put some weight
on. That's some bull. It sounds like you're insecure, man. You don't want to pass you up, bro. So you're like, you literally stiff-arming him down, bro. Like,
give me some more years to get more jacked before he starts hitting puberty and getting that teenage fucking hormones. And
you're going to lie to him and be like, no, sorry, you can't come to the gym. They require you to be 18 with supervision, so you can't.
We'll get them in there, you know, eventually. Our goal, like, when we talked about, like, how we are going to be, like, our lifestyle, where we want to be and where you are being a lot more active than we were before. So, like, we want that type of family we want to have. It's, like, active. So, it's not – whether he's working out with us or not, we're going to be doing something, going to the park, playing a sport, hiking, you know, doing something, like, nature walks. That we have. There's a lot of, like, nature walks around here that we've gone to. I mean, we walk around the pond and – like, you know, we have a nice little like nature walk by our house that we walk him on all the time. He doesn't know what's going on. He's in there in chill mode, kicking and staring at everything. But know, that's what, that's how we want to be. So whether he's doing some type of workout with us or doing something active.
Yeah, just keep him exposed to as much as possible.
Yeah, and that's the same thing. Like, just show him everything that he could, you know, whatever he gets interested in. Like, yeah, I was joking. I don't know anything about soccer, but if he kicks a soccer ball at recess and he goes, oh, this is fun, and he wants to do it, then, yeah, dude, like, give it a shot.
When basketball season was going on, did he ever sit down, or did you ever, like, have him, like, when you were, like, watching basketball games?
Yeah, I mean, he would stare at the TV, but he would stare at anything that was
You better get him watching with you this year, man. This might be the GOATs last year.
Nah, dude, Ronnie's not in the league yet, so.
You got to get him to watch. Otherwise, if I get a chance, I'll be like, hey, man, I know your dad, he's a big LeBron fan, but he wasn't the GOAT. Kobe Bryant, you should have seen this guy, man. He was, and I'm going to just keep feeding him a whole bunch of videos, man, so
dilute him. His age group, they're gonna have another go by that time. Probably like Zion or some shit.
Probably gonna be Luka.
Luka Doncic, yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah. Hopefully, well, I know for a fact, like, when I come back into town, I'm going to see everybody. Maybe not Roberto. Roberto's freaking like Southern Indiana.
No, yeah, when did he move?
He moved like around the same time I got here, like out of nowhere. Anthony just his brother told me, he's like, yeah, you know, Roberto just gave the house back to his parents, because originally, like, in Crown Point, his parents bought a house, they moved to Arizona to be closer to his sister and their grandchild, and so Roberto took over that house and took over payments and stuff like that, and then, like, yeah, he just, the parents came back out to be closer to the grandkids and to Anthony and stuff, so like he gave them that house back, and he bought a house somewhere in, like, Southern Indiana. I think Marissa and Dima said he's still like two and a half hours south of them, southwest of them.
That boy's almost in Kentucky.
Basically, yeah. Yeah. So my plan when I come back is, you know, if I can get 2-3 weeks off, is go visit my grandparents in Kentucky. It's like a 10-hour drive. Come back up to Indy, go visit Demo, his family, Chandler and his wife, and then come back up Portage. Hopefully, like, you know, you can come into town and you guys can come through and I can see y'all while I'm visiting.
Oh, for sure, dude. We'll go. I heard talking to Jessica. We're going to go hit up Classics, dude. Get a good leg day in with you.
Yeah, dude. It's gonna be crazy. Hopefully I got all my shit taken care of and nothing new's going on, whether it be like physically or mentally. So, yeah, it'll be exciting.
Yeah, looking forward to it. And y'all come stay nights out there with Kick It and stuff.
Yeah, man, two more months. It's crazy. I've only been out here for, well, I shouldn't say only, like, these 3 weeks have just flown by, even though, like, during the week, like, with, like, work and stuff, like, it goes by so slow, and I'm like, damn, we're already in October right now, and I got the rest of this month, the rest of November, and then a week and a half in December before I decide if I want to renew my contract or not.
Yeah, if you decide to tell them, listen, I need a couple weeks. I'm going back home for a little bit.
Well, they won't have a choice. I mean, like, when I renew my contract, like, when I hit up my agency and I'm like, hey, I kind of want to stay here another, like, 3-6 months. See if they'll take me for another 6 months. And they'll be like, okay. And so they'll put in the request, and then they'll ask me, like, what do you need, any days off? Or, like, when do you want to start this contract? And I'll tell them, like, I want to start in January.
Nice.
I mean, it's on them to either say yes or no.
Right.
So
yeah, that'd be good to come kick it for a little bit.
Oh, for sure. And I was just, I mean, you heard about that California thing I told you about, right?
Yeah, I do. If I was you, I'm doing that.
I asked my mom and dad. I was like, listen, I'm going to give you information, like, just solely this piece of information. You tell me if you would take it or not. Don't ask any other questions or like a what if or something. I told him, you live in California off the lake in a 3-bedroom, 2-bath home all to yourself for $2,900 a month, but your take home monthly is 10K, a little over 10K, like 10-4. And I was like, would you do it? My dad's like, hell yeah. My mom's like, of course, she's, you know, thinking from my lens and my poor money management skills. And she's like, well, You got to think about, mom, I didn't, I told you with just the information I gave you, would you do it or not? Like, and she's like, oh yeah, yeah. I mean, I definitely would. I was like, see?
Yeah, but you got, so you're thinking, you're making, you, so this contract, you'd make $10,000 a month, okay? You're paying, spending $3,000 to live in a place. They get you $7,000
to cover
extra money to cover all your other bills, your fund. Mm-hmm. Dude, that is a lot of money.
That's
and,
a lot.
And regardless if it's like, you know, I know how you said this last contract and this contract, you're trying to like knock down some
yeah.
stuff, right? But even then, like you get to that point, at that point, that could just be like a fucking, this contract is just for me, my, you know, happiness, mental health, my stability. Like, I'm just want to chill, have fun. You're in California. I don't know. I forgot exactly where you said it was at. But the California vibes right by the lake. Like, no matter where you are mm-hmm. in that area, it's going to be good weather and play a and good time.
Think about it. Like, let's say
– and I'm coming out at some point.
I mean, absolutely. You'd have to. I mean, I would have more than enough space to accommodate just about anybody. But let's say, like, I'm making 10-4. It's highball $3,000 to like live, so I got $7,000 to do whatever, right? And I cover all my other expenses. And I still got what, an extra $4,000 or $5,000 to either put in savings, invest in something, or if I wanted to like dump it into the rest of my car note, dude, my car would be paid off in literally like 2-3 months. Like, if that were the case, like, so the things that I'm harping on right now, like, oh, like I'm trying to continue to travel to like, you know, pay off certain debt and blah, 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 blah. Like a contract like that to where I would be taking home $10,000 a month is just, what other scenario or what other position opportunity would I have to be able to make this type of money in my field?
Yeah. So I'm doing, you asked me, at first I was like, man, 3,000, that's a lot. And then you're like, yeah, then like with this and this, and I have like 7. I'm like, wait, you said, hold on, say it all over again. I was like, you make 10, 3 to live, you got 7 left, I'm gone. Bye. I'm doing it. Shoot, if I had a way to make $7,000 a month, like on after paying, you know, for like my mortgage and stuff like that, dude, I'm gone.
Yeah, seriously. Seriously, it's crazy. Trying to think of anything else. I think that's just about it, man.
Just you got anything to say? It's your podcast debut. Do you got any shout outs you want to make? Anything you want to say? Anything we didn't ask that you want
to shout out to your sister that you didn't laugh at?
Yeah, yeah. Shout out Raquel, future MMA fighter. She's gonna win it. Gonna
How many sisters do you have?
Just the one.
Just the one? She's the one that plays
softball. It takes a long to answer that.
Well, I got a half sister, but I don't.
Oh, yeah. I guess I forget about that one too.
I'm so confused.
Yeah, the one that played softball, that's what she's talking about.
Yeah,
she's Rachel. The MMA fighter too.
Yeah, she's the MMA fighter.
Hopefully she practices a lot on Tommy. Beat the shit out of you.
She probably will. Justin.
Shout out to Jess's younger brother Tommy for being a big head.
Big ass dome, dude. If she starts training, it's like she all of a sudden we're working out. Like, this is where that MMA story came from. We were working out together, and she goes, "I'm gonna be an MMA fighter."
I was like, "What? Out of nowhere?"
Yeah.
And she was like, "Yeah, I've been thinking about it a lot, and I'm watching The Ultimate Fighter." I was like, "Can I be in your corner?" She's like, "Yeah, you can be the stool guy." I was like, "All right, cool."
But no, he can't be the stool guy because he's gonna $1 million baby her.
Wait, what?
You guys, I don't get it.
You never seen $1 million baby.
Next question.
Brian's not a guy with a vast variety of movies.
I don't have a great movie catalog. It's like very selective. Yeah.
Very.
Well, I need
Jesus. This is why I make fun of you.
No, you make fun of me for other reasons, but that's okay. I'm going to let you get your shots in. It's all good. I still remember the Ben and Jerry comment that you made.
I was just going off of what you said.
Yeah, that was really, yeah, it was a top tier clapback right there. I did enjoy that one. Sorry, Jess. You'll get yours. Don't worry. I'll see you on Daisy.
Okay.
I'll burn down your village or whatever the hell you freaking occupy.
I don't even play Daisy anymore. I'm going to be on Modern Warfare.
Oh, that's right. We can all just troll DC. That'll be fun. Well, dude, if we got nothing else, did you have anything that you wanted to add?
Nah, man. Shout out Luke.
Shout out to Baby Luke. Shout out to my friends in North Carolina that I made. I can't name them all because I'm bound to forget somebody, and then someone's gonna DM me and be like, "Bro, you forgot about me?" Like, no, I ain't gonna. If I interacted with you in one way or another, just know that we're cool. I still got people that text me like now and they're like, "Man, you need to come back. We miss you," and blah blah. So it's like, whether it's like genuine or not, I believe it to be genuine. It's like, it's nice to know, like, even for that short amount of time I was there, like, I still got, I got reach, you know, or like good support, you know. Yeah.
We're impactful people.
We are impactful people. And speaking of, this is my last thing I'm gonna say. So I told you how I bowled whatchamacallit, Thursday, right? And how I was like made a few friends on the team that I bowl with now and stuff like that. Did I tell you that part or no? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So yesterday I went to the gym after work, and then I went to the bowling alley. I'm like, oh, I'm going to get some practice and stuff like that. That way I can kind of like get loose again, get back into a rhythm, maybe figure out this house and how the lanes play. Cause one of the guys told me like, oh, this bowling alley hooks to tend a little, or tends to hook a little bit more than other houses. I was like, oh, okay. So I was just practicing. So I bowled 6 games, right? And this is how, exactly how they went. They went 180, 199, 257, 269, 279, 280.
God.
Dude, I was dealing, bro. And there was a couple people on either side of me that were watching. There's like some people at the bar that were watching, and every time I got done throwing a strike, I just seen like they're shaking their head like damn, this dude's freaking ridiculous, like, because that was the vibe I was getting, like they weren't hating. And I took a break in between one of the games, and I went to go get like a drink and stuff, and one of the people behind the counter was he looked like a kid to me. He's like, dude, he's like, you were ridiculous. How long you been doing this? I was like, I don't know. I've been doing it for a little bit, probably since I was like 7. And he's like, how old are you now? Like 20, 23. I was like, dude, I just turned 30, bro. And he's like, what? He's like, bro, I thought you were like 23, 24. And he's like, are you bowling anywhere? I'm like, yeah, I'm bowling here now. I just, you know, I got here like about 3 weeks ago, and I called this place up, and I called a couple other bowling alleys, and they said like this was like Thursday nights was like the more popping, like, more like entertainment, like league and stuff like that, but it was still sanctioned. So I figured, you know, I started bowling yesterday, and I'm like, oh, okay. Like, man, dude, we got to bowl together sometime, or blah, blah, blah. I was like, yeah. I was like, maybe, man. Like, you know, I practice every once in a while and stuff. I was like, when do you bowl? He's like, well, I bowl on Thursday nights too in the mixed league. I was like, okay. And he's like, yeah, I don't know. I bowled a 279 last night, but there was this guy named Brian. Like, he was like new or something. He shot like a 280. It was ridiculous. And I was like, really? And when I had my name on the screen when I was practicing yesterday, I would just put B-Rack. So, like, obviously didn't have my full name on there. So I was like, that's cool. I was like, 280. I was like, that's pretty good. I was like, did you meet the kid? Or, like, what do you look like? He's like, I don't know. I've never even heard or seen the kid before. Like, apparently this was, like, his first time bowling, like, here. And he just, like, smacked the house. And apparently he bowls two-handed like you. I was like, man, that's pretty cool. I was like, you know, that was me. And he's like, wait a minute, you're Brian? I was like, yeah. And then like a couple people from the back counter that were actually there yesterday, the day before, they're like, yeah, this is the one that shot 280. And he's like, man, he's like, I thought I was going to have high for the year for the league so far. I was like, well, bro, you don't have to worry about it because they said my 280 didn't count. So you're good. But I'm coming for you anyways, bro.
I'm still going to beat it, just not that week.
Yeah, just I just let you exist for another week, bro, okay? I'm coming for you.
Enjoy it while you can.
So yeah, dude, leave an impact wherever I go.
That's how we do.
That's how we do it. So I like this one, man. I like the my portion was a little bit, you know, but I did like hearing your guys' development with Luke and stuff, and that first full year with the baby, and that was good, man. Hopefully a lot of people listen to this one, especially like more of the parents and whatnot. And I wish we could have all the guys come on and like talk about like their baby stuff too.
Oh yeah, all the dads in our group.
That'd be a super super lit episode. But dude, it's almost impossible to get a hold of them anyway. So it's like, yeah, to get them on this podcast would be damn near impossible.
Yeah, we'll have to make it happen at some point. We have like you just said earlier, somebody, one of them, yeah, somebody, Brendan, the guy's a 6-year-old, and
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Berto with multiple. It's just a lot of them.
Yeah, man. We'll figure something out. But Jess, it's been a pleasure, even though you like to be a hater sometimes. So
I'm just
glad that you got
spitting facts.
Okay. We're gonna address that later, but but thank you for hopping on. Dan, this is another good one, bro. We will go ahead and post this. I mean, we'll keep you guys updated on the gram when Dan gets this edited and when our next episode will be. So
yeah,
we'll try
to
be
edit out all the wild stuff Jessica's been saying. So
what's that?
So I just edit out all that crazy shit Jessica was saying about you. So we'll edit all that out.
Yeah, yeah. Mods, get on that. All right, peeps. This has been real. This has been a good one. It's been a No Script Podcast.
We out. Still screaming.